for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, May the 29th, 1982. Memorial Weekend Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Paul Kane is the speaker of the evening. His subject, God's Prescription for Growth.
Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, I come now as priest here this evening, and I lift this thy people's offering unto you, Jesus, our high priest. And I present it unto you to give unto our Father as a sweet savor from your people upon the altar this evening. And I thank you for accepting it from your people. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it, too. Father, I pray now that as I become the steward over it, and I receive it into my hands, and I become responsible for it, that you give us wisdom, give us understanding, and give us discernment, Lord, and make us to be wise in the ways of the world, that we'll not be wasteful in any way, but that we shall bind and use this for your glory. And Lord, as I become the possessor of it, and as I become the distributor of it, Lord, and as you give me wisdom for it, now I take authority over this finances, and I bind it to your kingdom. And I ask that it shall be used for nothing but the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, until he return and his return becomes a reality both in our hearts and in this earth. And Father, I ask that it be used then just for the necessities of life. And I bind it that whoever's hands it goes through from now until money is no longer used, that they'll not be able to waste it on the things of the world, but they'll be only be able to use it for their necessities. And somehow, Lord, you'll compel them to give to thee that portion which belongs unto you. Because it's the finances, Lord, that we have now bound to your kingdom for your glory. And I thank you for it. Now, Father, I pray your blessing over these, your people. Multiply unto them financially. Multiply unto them physically. And then, Lord, multiply unto them spiritually. Father, bless their families. Bless their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren. Bless their posterity, O God, that through them shall flow the rivers of living water, that shall flow out unto people throughout all the earth, that they shall proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. And I thank you, Father. Now I pray your blessing, Father, this evening upon our speaker. Let the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost flow over Brother Cain, moved by your Spirit upon him for your glory. May the unction and the power of the living Christ flow forth, that he shall magnify the Lord Jesus. And I praise you for the privilege of having him here, Lord, tonight. And I pray for, and I thank you for your blessing that rests upon him and shall flow forth unto thee because of your Spirit that rests within him. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Paul Kane, the Lord bless him this evening.
Would you stand with me, please? I feel like we're going away from these meetings blessed, refreshed, and loaded. I feel like God has really been doing something. This afternoon, almost simultaneously, I looked at Brother Glenn, and he had picked up the same thing that I was about to share with Brother Reed, my assistant, that Colonel Wilson used 150 scripture references in his delivery today. And last night I made the statement that I often make, how can anyone gainsay, dispute, or resist? You know, the Word of God. You can't resist the Word of God because it's forever settled in heaven, for by the Word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Amen. While you're standing, I wanted to read God's word to you, but something arrested my attention in the most recent magazine, the Voice from His Excellent Glory periodical here that Glenn Irm has been sending out for so many, many years, long before you came here, many, many years. Something just struck my whatever, just quicken me, and that is this article on out-of-balance teaching. It is really something. And if we could ever take this to heart and really check into Proverbs 11:1 and Galatians 5:9 and really check this out, we need a balance. We need integrity. And we need charity in the body of Christ. You know, a person can have the wrong spirit and the right doctrine and never get anywhere. They're the hardest people in the world to do anything with us. Sometimes the most hopeless people who have the wrong spirit and the right doctrine. But if you have the right spirit and the wrong doctrine, you're going to come out all right, because anybody with a right spirit, even though they have the wrong doctrine, they're going to come out all right. So I feel like we ought to be charitable. I'm not here to be straightened out unless I need straightened out. And I'm not here to straighten anybody else out. I'm just here to lift up Jesus. And when he's high and lifted up, the glory of the Lord, the train of the Lord will fill the temple. And everything's going to be all right. Will you say amen to that?
Amen.
So we don't want to get out of balance. The second epistle of Peter, chapter 1. I want to revere God's word by standing while we read it. Let's just enjoy it together. The second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. And besides this, now this is dedicated to all of you who think you've arrived and you have it all, and we have not arrived, we do not have it all. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Our Heavenly Father, just as humble as we know how to be, we approach the throne of grace asking for divine illumination. Lord, just give divine guidance in this meeting tonight and help me to speak the things that will be profitable, only the things that would bring deliverance and edification for the body of Christ. We'll give you all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor in the matchless name of our lovely Christ. Amen. Now, before you sit down, we don't want this to be just something to do, but would you turn to someone and say, God will surely visit you. Now, turn to someone on your left, turn to someone on your right, just do it both ways and say, God will surely visit you. Amen and amen. My people respond so beautifully. My assistant was telling me, did you notice how when you said everybody that's with me say I, or, you know, when you ask for some audience response, we get it more than any place we've ever been. You're really with it. I appreciate it so much. I have a real long and lengthy message, but tonight it's going to be condensed. If at all possible, Lord willing, it'll be condensed. But I'm very concerned about spiritual growth. There's something really on my heart tonight, and I want to share it with you, even if it comes out as teaching, and I've never been able to really teach. I wish I had the ability. You know, I've said a lot of things about Brother Wilson since I've been here, and about Brother Glenn and Sister Irma. It's because I love them. You know, I think it's a sin to flatter people. When you tell someone how you feel about them, and if it's good, and you tell them wonderful things that you feel about them, then it's praise. Now, praise is not worship. Maybe you think it is, but it isn't. Praise is not worship. You can praise a person. The Bible says, let another man praise thee. And but if you tell someone in the spirit a real, truthful spirit, how you feel about them, and if it's good, then it's praise. But if you flatter someone and you don't mean it, then it's a sinful flattery. But I've meant everything I've said during these meetings, and I want you to know that Brother Wilson has really done his homework. I'm gonna follow him around, get on the same ticket, and get on some of the same speaking circuits that he goes to. We just finished up in Christian Retreat not long ago. We're going to Strawberry Lake. I wish we could be there together. You could have the night services, and I just, it doesn't matter what I had, just ought to be there. I have taken in more of It Is Written, which I believe so very, very strongly in, because It Is Written is powerful. And if you can get enough of it, get enough of it in your frontal lobes, you can get enough of it, you're going to be able to come out with it in the times you need it. And if you can say It Is Written with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it'll scare the devil out of the devil. Jesus used it. Was the only thing that worked. It'll work when speaking in tongues might fail. And speaking in tongues is powerful, but not as powerful as It Is Written. And the gifts of the Spirit are powerful. But a lot of times we use the word of knowledge and it doesn't heal people, but it sometimes gives faith to be healed. It's not enough just to know what's wrong with someone, but we need the gift of faith, or we need gifts of healing to find the real healing. A lot of people don't realize that just because you know something about someone is no sign they're healed. I might know everybody here who has cancer or malignancy or any other malady or sickness or disease, but it wouldn't heal you. It would be a supernatural thing. But if the Word of God comes alive and quickens you and brings faith, and faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then you have it. You're healed. Praise the Lord. But my frontal lobes are just really filled with, today, 150 scriptures. And it's just amazing. I don't see how anyone, as I said earlier, could gainsay, dispute, resist the Word of God. I mean, that's what we have. I mean, that's the most powerful thing. There's no argument. There's no debater debating in it. Debaters go to hell. But we're just simply stating the Word of God, and it drives people crazy when you use the Word of God. We had some students from one of the major universities in America come to a meeting not long ago, and because I just preached the Word, they were there to investigate and to examine and to pick. Isn't it a tragedy that a lot of people who really claim to love the Lord, they just come to your meetings to find out what they can disagree with? They're just here to find out what all kinds of things are going on they don't agree with, and they never pick up what is good and profitable, good for doctrine, the things that are really strengthening and can add to whatever you have in the first place. And it's a shame that that isn't done. We go to meetings, and if it isn't all faith, 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 and prosperity, 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 well, then you feel like you're in false doctrine, because that's about all you get. I believe in faith, faith, faith. Now, I've criticized some of the faith ministries, and I've had to apologize. I apologize to my dear friend Kenneth Hagin. We lived in the same town for many, many years, and I had to go and apologize to him. And the Lord brought us together in a convention last January, a year ago. And the Lord spoke and moved and brought such a beautiful, beautiful reconciliation and balance. And I just had to apologize for taking pot shots at the faith and confession teaching. And so as a result, I preached at Rhema, April a year ago. And we're just having a wonderful fellowship now. And then, I made, a little light of Brother Oral Roberts, his trademark, something good is going to happen to you. And I went all over the country saying, it's a good thing Ananias and Sapphira weren't there when he said that. Excuse me. And I just made all kinds of awful remarks about it, criticized the city of faith and everything else. So I really had to go to Oral Roberts, and I felt he was my friend, but we do awful things to our friends, don't we? So I finally had to go to him and ask him to forgive me.
Because if we're ever going to come into any kind of perfection, we're really going to have a charitable spirit. Now, if I have a lot of wrong things in my life, you can help me. If you love me, divine love and charity will cover a multitude of sins. I don't care how many faults I have. You could just do me a great favor and show me a little charity and love, and you could bring healing to me. I want to live, friends, for the Lord, and I want to do His bidding, and I want to please Him. So how about showing a little charity? And I want to be very charitable with you. And there's a lot of things we could really, really lock horns on and really get mean about, but God hasn't called us to fool around any longer. We can't fool around any longer. The time is short. And it's in the fullness of time that God would raise up a people now that are interested in perfection and ever-forwardness and moving on into His glory and into His plan. I believe that God is going to do something in spite of us. He's going to really do this work one way or the other. But one thing about it, I don't like the status quo. I really hate the status quo. I heard everything I've been preaching the last few months mentioned already, but the status quo is mentioned. Now, I'm not a Greek student, but I do believe that status quo is the Greek for the mess we is in. I really believe that. Status quo is the Greek for the mess we're in. Now, I looked that up in the dictionary, and it says, you know, the status quo is what was and what is, and, you know, hasn't changed. And that's the way of our Pentecostal movement. It seems like it's what it was, and it's what it is, and it hasn't changed, and it's status quo, and it's time to move on into the Holy of Holies. I believe it's established that God is tired of you who have the baptism of the Spirit and the fullness of God just playing around out in the outer court and just coming into the holy place. When you ought to be going into the Holy of Holies. It's there. We need to get into the Holy of Holies and come back and minister in a beautiful and a wonderful way. Now, we need some spiritual growth. We need some spiritual progress. We need some spiritual development. We need to grow and to reach and to strive for something. You know, the Holy Spirit is not so naive that He would command you or command me to put on anything we've already put on, or to do anything we've already done, or to receive anything we've already received. And there are a lot of things that we need to hear. Now, I preached this message, or a message along this line, in a great Baptist church a few weeks ago, and we sent the tape out to some of our Pentecostal friends, and Brother Glenn, they tried to crucify me over the fact that I preached on perfection. They thought I was doing away with the gifts of the Spirit, and I didn't have any respect for the gifts of the Spirit just because I said that the gifts of the Spirit are the tools of the trade, and, you know, we use the gifts to build a building with. They are tools. They are instruments to work with, and they're wonderful. But, oh, they just can't, you know, people are always out there to snare you by the words of your mouth, and they'll take on to the wrong things every time. Now, what on earth is wrong with preaching on perfection? Now, we do need, God knows that we need to perfect the gifts of the Spirit. And it was, you know, somebody made it seem a little like kindergarten the other day, people receiving tongues and interpretation. But God knows we haven't had any. We haven't had any teaching or any of those who are in authority, or the prophets or apostles or teachers that are really anointed of God, to really come along and instruct anybody on really how to receive and really how to operate and really how to use the tools and the trade. And sure, we have to do that. But I do get a little frustrated at times and just wish that we could, you know, get into a little more perfection. I'd like to see a little more perfection. I really would. Now, in one of the status quo churches over, I shouldn't mention the place, I won't mention the place, it's way down south, and in an obscure little church, And one night a lady got up and gave a message in tongues, and she said, yea, I say unto thee, or the interpretation was supposed to be, yea, I say unto thee, these are very fearsome times. These are fearful times. These are times when my people are scared. But be not dismayed, my beloved. These are very scary times. And I, the Lord, thy God, am sometimes scared myself. Now, you know, we need some teaching along the line. Not only when you receive a gift of the Spirit, you need, you need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what Jesus is saying. And you need to go on to some perfection in the gifts. And the gifts are powerful. And to think that we are in such a status quo that we still have the same thing. Bless God, I'm saved, sanctified, and on my way to heaven, and I'm so glad I've received it, and that's all there is to it. I've spoken in tongues. But that isn't all there. We need to go on to perfection and have something added to it. We can't just settle for the faith teaching. We need to add to our faith virtue. We can't just settle there. We need to add to our virtue and knowledge. Can't settle there. Don't stop. Keep going. The most dangerous enemy of God's people today is not heresy or false doctrine. You know, the people, some of my friends all over the country, they were scared to death about me coming down here to be with Glenn and Irma. They thought I had flipped my lid. And I thought, well, I know these people. I love these people. And if they're that messed up, or I love them so much, I'll just go down there and smother them to death with charity and with love. And then if I'm in a mess, I'll just give them the opportunity to use charity and love and get me straightened up. And I think that's a wonderful attitude, whether it's, yours or mine. That's a good attitude. And when Brother Wilson talks about, he doesn't get up here and he's so dogmatic that he knows it all and that he's got it all down pat. He does leave that door open. And I know some teachers are so dogmatic, they just believe that what will be. Even if it never does come to pass, it's going to be that way. And that's all there is to it. But you see, we haven't put on any of these things. You know, we ought to be put ons. We really do. We are commanded in three times to put on something. But above all, we're to put on charity. That's the final thing. Now, I'm going to have to back up a little and tell you that we haven't really perfected the gifts of the Spirit yet. We really haven't. I want to see that happen. I want to see no lack in the body of Christ, or no one sick, or no one weak, or no one asleep in the graveyard, because we do not have the fullness of this wonderful, wonderful teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, because I believe that we can have that perfection, even to the extent that when unlearned unbelievers come into our midst through prophecy and through the wonderful gifts of revelation, the secrets of their hearts are thus made manifest, and they'll fall on their face and report that God is in them of the truth. Now, I can't back down and say that we do not need the gifts of the Spirit. I'm where I am today because of the gifts of the Spirit. But if anybody would ever say anything about the gifts of the Spirit and moving on to perfection and not just becoming status quo, I think it should be someone who loves the gifts of the Spirit, who has experienced the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, that should be saying that, and not some empty-headed, so-called theologian who doesn't know anything about the moving of the power of God, and so on. Now, I hope you can stay with us, because you may not be charitable enough and leave out on something that God will really, really get you for. Now, I don't want to put anybody under bondage, but I haven't said everything that God wants me to say yet, and people just judge you, and it makes me so... God forgive you, and forgive me for feeling the way I do. But we just don't give God a chance. Someone flew in the other day to this meeting, and they didn't even stay for the deliverance meeting. They were desperate, more desperate than anybody I've seen in a long time. They didn't stay for it because they don't give God a chance. All right, come on now. We have time to spend 6 months at Mayo Clinic or 4 months in some other
Anderson, MD Anderson Cancer Clinic or something like that. But you come to a deliverance meeting or a healing meeting, what do you have? You have to have, immediately the man has to come out and strike his hand over your leprosy or your cancer and heal you, or you're on your way. Think about that. Never realizing that we give more time to man than we do to God. I was in a meeting in Columbus, Ohio, years ago, while Catherine Kuhlman was still alive, and she was having such turnaway crowds at Christian Center there, a church she helped found, build, and she was turning away 6,000 or 7,000 people a night, and the mayor and all the officials were upset about it. So they thought they had such a great move of God that have someone in that didn't draw such big crowds, and so they had me follow her meeting. excuse me. But anyway, I came to conduct a healing meeting right on the heels of Sister Kuhlman's meeting. And so someone came all the way from Florida to be there. And this lady came down the aisle, just almost interrupted the meeting before we got the prayer service started or the healing service started. And she said, "Oh, I've missed it. I've missed it. I've missed it." And I said, "Well, Mother, what have you missed?" She said, "Well, Catherine Kuhlman has left. I just found out she's not here, and she's gone. And I've come all the way from Florida, and I'm dying with cancer." And I said, "Well, Mother, I guess you'll just have to settle for Jesus." And her daughter said, "Oh, praise God. Mother needed that." You know, we get our hang-ups. And we think it's got to be a certain way. And we rush in and we want it to happen through the very person that we have idolized and exalted in our minds. But it may happen through someone that you don't like. You don't like. You know? About three people don't like my suit. Well, I don't like it too much. Somebody gave it to me. And I just, you know, I like it because I didn't have to pay for it. And, you know, I don't, that doesn't bother me so much, but it bothers me because you're not going to get anything from the Lord. You've got your mind all messed up. Why don't we get out of this old stinking status quo and get some growth going? And I'm going to give you a prescription tonight. How many of you believe in godly medicine? Now, some of you won't even take the medicine I've already given you. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I've tried to make you laugh. Colonel Speed's tried to make you laugh, and you're still sick because you can't laugh. You can't get anything from God if you're uptight. You have to have a sense of humor. I don't care what you say, you have to have a sense of humor. And if you think that's funny, listen, you have to have a sense of humor. That's all there is to it. Because anyone who's uptight never gets anything from God. They're always you know, really grouchy and so on. Somebody asked a man the other day, said you thought he really looked sad, and said, "Do you wake up grouchy every morning?" And he said, "No, I just let her sleep and I get up and go on to work." But he was the one that was grouchy. Oh, my. Well, anyway, I don't you worry about that. That happens not to be my sermon notes. But here's a sevenfold prescription. And, I gave you a prayer, but add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity. If we could only have that love, that divine love, that charity, everybody in this place could be healed. I just pray that God will make you such a sweet and a wonderful smelling savor that you'll be a savor of life and a life to them that believe. And, of course, a savor of death and a death to them that believe not. I want you to think of the progress that's been made throughout God's plan. Moses came. That was a progression from Abraham. Moses and his regime and his administration came. And then Joshua, and then all the way through, you know, to Jesus, just one progression after the other, and then Pentecost. Then here, even in our own history of reformations, we've had Martin Luther, and we've had the Wesley brothers, and we've had the holiness teaching, the Plymouth Brethren, and the Anabaptists and all of those that came along. And each has been a progression. As Brother Speed mentioned the other day, the Voice of Healing, or the healing movement that came along in 1947 and 48, that was a move of God, a progression from the old ways and the old methods. You know, I came up in a church where I thought they would never progress. Some churches still are, you know, involved in the same status quo. Getting people through to the Holy Spirit is hold on, hold on, hold on, turn loose, turn loose, turn loose. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire, send the rain, send the rain, send the rain. And you don't know whether to turn loose or let go, or whether you're going to be consumed, or whether you're going to be drowned or what, you know. And that's the way I came up. I was in a church when I was a little boy, and that church, you know, is still carrying on the same way. And no spiritual progress or no life. Now, I was called in on the carpet just recently for preaching this way, and I get called in on the carpet a lot of times. You see, they give me the red carpet treatment here. But I've been called in on the carpet, and do you know, thanks, brother, for laughing. You just blessed me when you did that. He's very serious. Let me tell you, friend, I was called in the carpet, and they said, look, just because you've been preaching in the Baptist churches, you come along and make fun of us Pentecostals, and we receive the Holy Spirit the way you described. And I said, well, look, I'm not making fun of you. I received the infilling that way. In fact, I should be congratulating you, and you should congratulate me, because we received him in the torture chamber. We really did. You know, hold on, hold on. But when they prayed for me, we had a precious little Italian lady that always prayed for me, and she held my hands up in the air, and we got all the brethren, you know, around. They were beating me on the back and shaking me, and she was saying, turn loose, little brother, turn loose. And I couldn't turn loose. She had a hold of my wrist, holding me up. Let go, let go. I tried, but I couldn't. She had a hold of me. And then, you know, send the fire, Lord, send the fire, and send the rain, Lord, send the rain. And my little heart, you know, was really going 150 a minute, and I was really suffering from palpitation, and I just, I didn't know what it was then, but it just seemed like I was going to die. And then all of a sudden, I almost went under, because she went, whew, aren't you ever going to receive? And you know the Italian people, bless their sweethearts, they love garlic, just like I do, and I just about passed out at that point. And they, when I started falling over, they thought that was it. That's it, that's it, that's it. But that wasn't it. But the Lord did baptize me with the precious Holy Spirit, and I'm happy for that. How many of you believe, just a little bit, that what I might be able to say, not what I've already said, but what I might be able to say, just might be what you need to hear? Well, won't you please give God a chance? Won't you please give God a chance? There's some people here tonight that you, all you think about is that you're mixed up with a lot of hypocrites, and you want to get out of here, or you don't want to go to church anymore because they're hypocrites. You're just here to please somebody. Well, listen, I'd rather spend a short time with a few hypocrites in the church than to go to hell and spend eternity with all of them. Thus saith the Lord. All right. Well, you know something? I'm going to say something profound now that maybe you haven't heard, or maybe I've never said it since I've been here. But until we believing believers not only preach the gospel, but until we become the gospel, we're not going to get anywhere. People are not interested in you just preaching the gospel. You must become the message. Now, there are men in the past that ministered to kings and great leaders throughout all the world. One man was a man named William Branham, and he became what he preached. He became a messenger of love and a messenger of authority, and he was actually exuding such a spirit of charity and love that even the Queen of England and kings and presidents and all sought his counsel and they wanted an audience with him because he was a man that exuded the presence and the attributes of Jesus. You know, I read a story about the American Indians one time and it told about how the American Indians used to file through the forest, a single file, and each of the Indians would step in the footprints of the leader, and they did this as they went through the forest to confuse the enemy, so the enemy would not know how many Indians were in the vicinity. So this was a tremendous strategy, and the enemy would come by and they would look and see one set of footprints or moccasin prints and automatically assume that one Indian passed this way today. Now, I believe in Luke 29 when Jesus said, if any man would come after me or take up where I left off or be my successor or do what I do and so on, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And I believe we have missed something as far as progression in the Christian journey. We have forgotten that it's not just what we do in the outer court when we receive salvation, and it's not just what happens when the next division comes and we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the holy place, but there is a progression and a daily, daily journey of taking up the cross daily and following in his steps. And I believe that's what he had in mind. Now you think about what would happen here tonight if God moved in on this scene and he just electrified us with his mind and with his word, which is the mind of Christ, incidentally, and just filled us with divine love and charged us with holiness and with charity. And we could all go out of this place and walk through some crippled children's ward and twisted, mangled bodies would be made straight. And do you know, nobody would say that Oral Roberts passed this way, or Rex Humbert passed this way, or T.L. Osborne passed this way, or Brother Glenn passed this way, or Brother Wilson passed this way, or even Brother Paul passed this way. They would say, Jesus passed this way. He's the leader. We're following, we're in his steps, and we must learn to put our feet in his steps and follow him. And then every time something wonderful and something glorious and something magnanimous happens, even the raising of the dead or the hospital being emptied or a whole nation turning to God, which is a thing just ahead of us, they wouldn't say, well, evangelical crusade did this, or this group did this or that. They say, Jesus passed this way today, only one set of footprints. You know, that's the attitude. If we could just be gracious enough and kind enough to put on this final garment of charity and have such love. You know, the other evening, I heard one of the most eloquent and beautiful messages on the Holy Spirit that I've ever heard in all of my life. And I've been in the journey for over 40 years, preaching and all, but I have never heard anyone preach more eloquently and more beautifully about the precious Holy Spirit as I heard a few nights ago. And it did something to me. There were some things about the attributes of the Holy Spirit I'd never heard before, never thought of before. And then after the meeting, I was invited out by this famous preacher and the pastor of this great church, and we had our midnight snack. And before the waitress could bring our food, before we had any fellowship at all, the man who had so beautifully and eloquently preached about the Holy Spirit, the one who is grieved so easily, you know, he said, have you heard about Brother so-and-so, and told of a hideous sin or some great fault that this brother had fell into? An arrow shot through my heart immediately. Not that I'm arriving or have arrived. Let me tell you, God did something in grace that night, or through grace for me, and he whispered to me, be that man's friend. I want you to be that man's friend. Now, I know this sounds unkind and all of that, but any dog that will take, it's a very poor, crude illustration, but it's good. Any dog that'll take a bone will carry a bone. If you would listen to me, downgrade any brother, or talk about Brother Glenn or anyone else, and not correct me, then you're a dog that'll take a bone and carry it and talk about me and talk about him and talk about other men of God. That's just a little divine piece of information the Lord shared with me. And I decided right then we will never come into perfection and we'll never put on the final bond and the final charity garment unless we stop maligning our brothers. And let me tell you that maligning, you can tell something that's true about somebody and still malign them. Yeah, and it grieved me. I said, I don't want to hear it. I said, have you been to this brother? Have you asked this brother about what happened? Have you tried to restore this brother? Have you, in the spirit of meekness, considered the fact that you might also fall or you might also fail the Lord? Have you? Well, no, I didn't, but it came from a very reliable source, and it just ruined our fellowship. But it did something to me. It really implanted or engraved something on my heart. Never malign your brother. Never speak evil of any man of God. And I'll tell you, if you would take hold of that one truth tonight, we could bring the king back before you know it. Of course, he's coming back. We know that. But I get tired of sitting the kingdom of God back in this respect. We're not making any progress unless we come into charity and forgive. Just recently, a brother said, you know, Brother so-and-so fell, and he began to drink, and I came in one night and found him drunk and had to lift him up off of the floor. And my assistant said, but why didn't you leave him there? You know, if you can't say anything better about him. So I said, well, they had, they had to pick him up in order to nail him to the cross. You know, you just have to pick somebody up if you're going to nail him on the cross. And here we just can't seem to get this one thing down in our minds, is that the only thing that's going to bring perfection is the bond of charity. To think we haven't even perfected the gifts of the Spirit yet, and here I am preaching about charity, about divine love. I still have the challenge of Jesus himself to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I still have the passion of Acts. They went everywhere. Oh, it's still with us. We still have to do this. The challenge of Romans, from faith to faith. The message of the Corinthians that I talked about last night, from glory to glory, and all of that. But why? Why can't we come to the place that we could at least keep each other alive? For this cause, many are sick among you, and many sleep, because of failure to rightly discern the body of Christ. And there's a great mystery there, and there's a manifold meaning, and one layer of truth after another, in that very verse. If you don't discern the body of Christ, you realize I'm a member of that body. If you don't love me, you may be in trouble. If I don't love you, and if I can't rush to you and cover you with charity and with love, then there's really going to be something out of balance. And if you can't do the same for me, there's going to be something out of balance. If you ever hear of me getting in trouble, I don't want you calling everybody's prayer line in the country and every power line and telling them what's wrong with Paul Kane. I want you to come to me and say, look, brother, I want to restore you. I want you to know I love you, and I want to restore you, and I want to do the same for you. I make that commitment to you. I commit myself to you, Brother Glenn, and to you, Brother Wilson, and to members of the body of Christ and ministries, that I will never receive a word of discouragement or accusation against you. And if you'll do the same for me, when next we meet, we'll be so powerful, we'll scare the devil out of the devil. That's the truth. That's the one thing that's killing us off, and that's keeping the power and the glory of Almighty God.
because we get so tacky and we get so cheap that we can't stand up to one another and strengthen one another. If you don't help my body, you're going to suffer in yours. And if I don't help you, I'm going to suffer. And that's the way it works. Be strengthened with might by his Spirit, Ephesians 3:16-19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Let's just read it right out of God's word like it is. That he would grant unto you, this is Ephesians 3:16-19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Now here's 7 steps to the fullness of God right here. They're all recorded here. Rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's divine progression. If we could come into the place to be filled with all the fullness of God, it's almost like a dream. It's almost like a projection when we haven't even really perfected the gifts of the Spirit yet. We're still playing with these gifts, and we need to perfect them. We need to know the giver and begin to really seek him, that we may know the mind of Christ. There are 7,000 promises of God for our perfection, for our fulfillment, to bring the fullness of God to us, and they're just for time. They won't do you any good after you're in the grave. They're not for eternity. They're only while you're inhaling and exhaling and walking in this life. And there are Christians who know something about tongues but know nothing about the positive promises of God. They never read 1 Peter 5:7. It is written, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. They don't even consider that. They don't even know that there's anything in the Bible that covers their particular need and situation, because they're always going to the horoscope. They're always writing Dear Abby or her sister Ann Landers or somebody. And these are two sisters that can't get along themselves. And they don't know Bible doctrine. And they might be nice people and all that, but they really don't know. They don't set the standards. And I don't want you to ever think that I set the standards for holiness, nor any other greater person. Billy Graham or his wife, they don't set the standards for holiness. And Oral Roberts and Evelyn, they don't set the standards for holiness. Here we have our status symbols, and we look at them, and we just think, you know, we want to be just like them. They don't set the standards for it. We must each come to the place where we can empty ourselves of everything and sit at the feet of Jesus and become a partaker of the mind of Christ until we have the mind of Jesus Christ. And then we'll know something. Then we'll be somewhere. Amen? It's wrong for you to ever pay anybody to do your holy living for you. God expects you to be holy. He expects you to live holy. Amen. A judge friend of mine, he told me that he was going to sue an evangelist here a while back because he wrote his wife, who happened to be demised. She had just gone on to be with the Lord, but this evangelist had a computer, and he wrote, with the help of Xerox, a computerized letter, and said, I was sitting on my bed at 2:30 this morning thinking about you, and the Lord brought you before me. And, of course, the judge, not being all that spiritual, he judged the wrong way, I guess, or maybe he didn't. And he thought that this man was actually thinking about his wife. And he, got a hold of him and said he's going to put him in jail because you have no business sitting on your bed at 2 o'clock in the morning thinking about my wife. And my wife happens to be with the Lord now and all that. And he just about put this gentleman out of business, or this man out of business. Now, look. God is going to do something to this world without the help of Xerox or IBM. He doesn't need them. He can use them. He can do it off them. And I appreciate that. I read in your magazine where you don't buy mailing lists, and you never have and never will, by the grace of God, and I like that. I don't believe God needs it. I believe he's adding the church daily as he will, and
He doesn't need any more Just As I Am Without One Plea songs. He doesn't need any more Almost Persuaded. He's going to do something today that just we won't even have to use these songs anymore. God is going to draw people to Christ. He's going to do it. Now, we need worship. We need singing. I'm not saying that. And these things still have their place. But God can bring many to Him without any Just As I Am Without One Plea being involved. Oh, my. This isn't my last service. I thought it was. Maybe it is. All right. But oh, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Something was quickened to Sister Irma last night because Glenn and Irma, they're so honest. You know, there are people in the deliverance ministry that I don't enjoy being around. I want to be charitable and I go around them, but they feel sometimes they've arrived and that, you know, they have, they don't have anything wrong with them and you have everything wrong with you and you can't sneeze around them or you can't cough or anything or you're in trouble. And I was around one of these meetings recently and the brother said, "How did you enjoy the service?" And I said, "To be quite honest with you, I was miserable because you got up there and said, everybody that coughs has a demon. And I needed to cough and I almost died because, I was afraid to cough. That was an awful bondage." I said, "Brother, forgive me, but I didn't enjoy it at all." "Well, now, you know, brother, what you need is deliverance. And all of that, spirit of fear." "Well, listen, brother, I want you to know that I appreciate people in the deliverance ministry like Glenn and Irma because here I find out they have, they have some pains once in a while and some problems. They get weak, and Irma was, really without strength the other night, and I felt sorry for her. And then when the Lord began to reveal to me and quicken to me that wonderful thing about Jesus in Isaiah 11, that thing about the spirit of might, something she'd already had revealed to her yesterday afternoon, and it quickened her and lifted her. And don't you see, no matter how deeply you're involved in the deliverance ministry, we still need encouragement and help. And no matter how much healing I preach, and no matter how much the gifts of the Spirit we may employ, I still go home and need prayers and wonder where all of God's people are because I have needs and I have problems. Who's going to help me? You know, for years, who do you think you could call on? You think you could call on one of your fellow ministers and tell them you were sick? Well, the competition, that is involved in the healing ministry, you wouldn't dare tell another healer that you were sick because he'd get the edge on you. He couldn't tell you, so who do you go to? I'll tell you, there's nothing more horrifying than for a healer to get sick. He can't go to anybody. Or for someone who has all the deliverance, he can't have anyone know that he needs deliverance. But we're all in this thing together. Some of you remember the late Ethel Waters. She was one of the sweetest, bright people that I've ever met, a real saint of God. I used to go after her and pick her up in the car and take her to our meetings, and she would sing in between the time she got the good meetings, like with Billy Graham and others. And she was a sweet, accommodating soul. And she told me one time she was on an airplane, and the airplane experienced some real turbulence, and it was dropping through the air about 50 feet and scaring all the passengers to death. And Miss Waters said that the stewardess came to her, and she was even shaking. And she said, "Miss Waters, I know that you could help if you just would." Said, Would you please sing something and quieten the passengers down? They're hitting the panic button. Please sing something. His eyes on the sparrow or anything." And so Ethel said, I looked at her and I know without exaggerating, my eyes must have been as big as teacups, she said. I said, "Honey, you forget one thing. I was a passenger on this plane, too." And you see, I'm in this thing with you. I may be able to give you something from God. Thus saith the Lord, rise and be healed, and you'll be healed. But I'm in this with you. I need somebody who's going to say to me, be thou made whole. You need help. You need healing. So you see, we are in this thing together. It's a body ministry. It's a body ministry. And you never know where that healing is coming from. It may come from the most unlikely piece of material in the body of Christ. So we can't afford to have it in for anybody. It may come through music or a singer or someone blessed in other ways, not even connected with a sign gift ministry. It may come that way. Well, I am closing, if at all possible, but I've got to get this over to you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. This is Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in heaven. No, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, I guess I could end right there, but I feel an agony in my heart tonight. The Apostle Paul agonized in his spirit, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, I know that we know the Lord tonight. I know most of us here know the Lord. But that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, Brother Wilson said something about Christianity that I want to just say in my own words, something along that line. You know, Christianity is not a religion. I think religion is the worst thing that ever happened to this world. I believe that religion is the worst thing that ever happened to this world. And the second worst thing is the United States Supreme Court. I said that in Columbus one night, and a judge stood up and he said, "Preach it, brother, amen and amen." And that gave me a lot of encouragement. But you see, I am not a religious person. I hope you're not. If you are, you are sick. Jesus Christ is God. You believe that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him is not anything made that was made, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness of that light. He was not that light, but came to bear witness of the light, which is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now let me tell you something. Jesus Christ wants to be in you and not make you God's man for the hour or God's man of faith and power. John came, he was not that light. But people today are getting their eyes on John. They're getting their eyes on the prophet. They're getting their eyes on God's man for the hour, God's man of faith and power. Don't get mad, but there are no more superstars. That day has come and gone. The regime is over. God is calling for his people to come into perfection. It's every man for himself. You're going to have to know God for yourself. You're going to have revelation for yourself. You're going to have these seven steps to perfection for yourself. Holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and above all things, put on charity, the bond of perfectness. We're going to have to come into this kind of perfection, or we're not going to make it. Don't wait for the next Catherine Kuhlman to come stepping out of the wings adjacent to the great stage. That will never happen again. God is going to perfect his body. He wants a body that is all in one accord, that can think alike and speak the same things. And if we come into something like this divine love, even though we have been wrong in our doctrine, we will have the right spirit and we will get the right doctrine. What we need is not more religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need disputations about the resurrection. We must come to the place where we believe that I am is the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection. The resurrection is not even a doctrine. The resurrection is a person. I am the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And I want that resurrection and that life to come into me tonight. Amen and amen. Reed asked me to read a poem to you tonight, and I hope I can read it. I'm not very good at reading poems. But I want to read this to you, and I want you to write down Jeremiah 12:5 and read it when you get home, because it's going to mean something to you. If we can't keep up with what's going on right now, how are we going to contend in days to come with the swelling of Jordan? Things are not going to get any better in this respect. And I sure have enjoyed, their strength in numbers. Council in numbers like this is very strengthening to me. It's good to be around brothers who believe the way you do. We don't always have that kind of strength. But there's enough strength due to this one fact that great things could happen tonight. God just doesn't want anybody to get the credit for it but Jesus. And if we could just have him get the credit for it, it'd be wonderful. This poem has everything to do with Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast with the footman run, and wearied thou hast been in the land of peacefulness, thy laggard steps were seen, how canst thou then with horse contend? How pace his frenzied ride? Or how then wilt thou best the stream of Jordan's swelling tide? The kingdom of the Lord our God is not for lukewarm souls who will while away the drowsy hours as time relentless rolls, but men of violence and strength who evil powers defy, with desperation in their eyes, resolved to win or die. This life is not an idle dream, a playground or a game. Stern are the tasks that beckon us, where slackness would be shame. The hour is later than we think. Now we should wield the sword, for soon, yes, all too soon, will be too late to serve the Lord. Some people are going to lose out. Whether there's going to be the 22,000 or the great numbers, the many thousands reduced, as you've heard in these beautiful analogies from our brother here, down to 300. And I want to be in the last day ministry. I've asked the Lord to allow me to be in the last day ministry. Now, I've been just as sincere with you, and I know that sincerity isn't enough. But I have been just as cautious as I possibly can be to show you that I don't think I have anything more than anyone here tonight. Yet, God has brought us all together to perfect each other and to help each other. And what I lack, there's someone in this audience tonight who could minister to me. And what you need, someone can minister to you. And I pray that what little the Lord has given me to help you will really, really help. Lives have been changed in these meetings. Lives have really been changed. Doctrines and the status quo that's been so evil has really been shaken and changed. during these days. Don't hold on to something. Some of you are killing yourself trying to keep some doctrine from dying. That's already dead and isn't even a true doctrine. Why don't we get into a realm of really magnifying the Lord? Jesus is here tonight and he wants to be glorified. Jesus is here and he wants to be high and lifted up. Jesus is here and he wants first place. Let's give it to him. Father, in Jesus' name, just look over this audience with your omniscient, loving kindness. And you see everything, Lord, and you know everything. And I pray that you'll lift the people up and strengthen them. There are people who were here yesterday and the day before who would not be here should you tarry another year. But you have graciously given them something to tenaciously cling to, and they have something worth living for. In Jesus' name, you're going to help us to go through, and we give you the praise for it. I want you to turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you, and I love you too. Would you do that if you really mean it? And if you don't mean it, ask the Lord to forgive you and say it again. Jesus loves you. You can at least be truthful about that. And I love you too. Jesus loves you, and I love you too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have you noticed there's been a difference? Sometimes I just really come into a meeting. It seemed like last night I had no idea I was preaching that long, and I don't know how long it's been tonight. But that doesn't matter. If I can do no more than groan in the Spirit, it'll accomplish more than all I could say in 2 hours from past experience. But I want you to know that I've seen the hand of the Lord move in these areas, and I'd like to see the gifts of the Spirit really perfected in your lives. I want you to know that we have some people here who have been in the old days of God's outpouring, and it's always refreshing to be around them. But we know that we haven't seen it all, and that what we're about to see, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. Amen. And I really am so thankful. This lady, a dear sister, came to me last night, and she was telling me that they had the tabernacle, the old tabernacle at 9th and Acoma, right after Catherine Kuhlman's there. We were reminiscing about that, and I just want you to know that you'll see something before you go home to be with the Lord, and I'm going to see something before I go that will pale anything that you ever saw happen there, you know, in those days. And I was at Angela's Temple for 17 or 18 straight weeks once, and we saw some marvelous things, but I'm not looking back to that anymore. What I've seen now is just so magnanimous, and I don't know what that word means, but it sure is a big word. Brother Wilson will tell me, but it's a big word. Oh, listen, I have enjoyed myself, but I want to see the gifts of the Spirit perfected, and we want them to happen to where no man will be in the limelight. We just have to step aside, you know, and let the Lord come into these meetings. But do you think if I knew something that would save your life tonight and I didn't use it, that I would be kind and gentle? I want to have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance in my life before I ever say I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I spoke in tongues. And now, if the fruit comes along with that, then I sure appreciate you speaking in tongues. It, you know, you say, well, I spoke in tongues, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness and temperance. Against such there's no law. You can't be filled with the Holy Ghost and hate your brother. You're a murderer, and I don't think a murderer can be filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit will help you work perfectly in the way that God has designed you to work. Brother Speed said something that I've you see, when God reveals something to somebody, this takes away any possibility of anybody ever just monopolizing on something and saying, I'm the only one that has this. Because when the Holy Spirit reveals something like he has to me or to this brother, then there's always, everywhere you go, every prophet or apostle or every evangelist or teacher or ministry that's flowing and knowing, the Holy Spirit is receiving the same thing. And, you know, here a little, there a little, and it all comes together. And Reed Grafke, my assistant, and I, Reed has a heart for the Lord like no other young man I've ever known. And he's taken notes. He has everything you talked about, Glenn, and he has all 150 of your scriptures today, brother. Everything you've spoken, everything I've spoken, and we go home and rehearse that, and sometimes, it gets quite late when we fellowship and talk about these things, rehearse these things, and they're beautiful. But let me tell you something. We're moving into perfection. You can't. There's the one thing you can't get too much of and get out of balance on, and that is the Word of God. God has designed a couple of frontal lobes up here, and they are for information. And if you could get all of the world out of there, and all of the... I don't know what's on television these days because it's become so vile and so rotten that I'm not watching it regularly like I used to, but I'll show you how long it's been since I was truly backslidden. You've got to get I Love Lucy out of there. I guess maybe that's still on there. Or I Love Lucifer, or whatever that program is. Or The Lone Ranger, or Gunsmoke. And I used to think that it was a sin to watch that. Now, if you think it's a sin to watch that, I grew up in a church that believed it was a sin. It was a sin to listen to The Lone Ranger on radio. Brother, can you imagine? Can you imagine what it would be today to watch some of the hellish things out of the trash cans of Hollywood now? It's terrible. But anyway, if we could take in enough divine information, could you imagine what would happen? Just get it all in here and then speak it. Speak it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Until that Word becomes flesh again, we're getting nowhere. And that Word, those 150 scriptures today will tear down the strongholds of Satan, the captivity of the people, and doctrines of men. Listen, friend, there is something we need. We need to adhere to and be more concerned about than heresy. Some of you are so afraid that what you've heard in these meetings is heresy. That's not your enemy. Communism's not your enemy or my enemy. Status quo is the enemy. Status quo. Not being willing to move on into deeper truths. That's it. Well, God wants to establish some lives here tonight, and I want him to do that, and nobody's going to get any glory for it, so you just be very patient. I'm going to do what God bids me do, and then you have to blame it on God. And if you say, well, doesn't he have a wonderful insight, then you have done me a great injustice, because I have nothing. When the Lord reveals something to me, this is something that's happened ever since the Lord called me, and I can't help it. We're just going to use it as a fellow member of the body of Christ, not as the main attraction tonight. So let's just bow our heads, and if you can accept it, the Lord's going to do something right now. Father, as we close out this meeting, may you receive some glory and some honor and some recognition as the mind of Christ comes alive, as the Word of God comes alive and quickens some people here, saves some lives, and establishes some truths in some hearts, and that they may glorify you. I want you to think of this now before anything happens. Why am I living? Just ask yourself that question. Why am I living? Now, we may not be doing this, but we are living to glorify God. And if you're not glorifying him, you may not be living long. Just think about that. Everybody is still breathing tonight. You're living to glorify God. Amen? I see some things in the meeting. I'm just going to start out. And if it, if God wants to move on, that's fine. We were in a meeting recently, and church, and a Hollywood producer was there, and all of a sudden the meetings got so heavy, we were dealing with people, and some wonderful things were happening. All of a sudden, the people got their eyes on what was happening and not on the Lord, and it was just cut off right there. And this Hollywood producer, promoter, he gave his heart to the Lord because he said, look, my friend, I know more about show business than anybody around here. And when you saw that was becoming show business and that God wasn't getting the glory for it, I said, I want to give my heart to Christ in a meeting where God's really getting some glory. And that was a wonderful thing. And somebody criticized me. He said, well, why did you cut it off? Why, this building wouldn't hold the people tonight if you'd you just carried on that way. Listen, God's going to get the glory for it, or he's going to remove somebody off the scene. Been too many superstars moved off the scene because we're not willing to give God the glory. We're not in competition. Young lady, there's a halo around your head that's the glory of the Lord. Would you just stand up right now, right here? Yes, just stand up. I want to tell you something about your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and every Christian really glorifying God now and just asking for the mind of Christ for this lady. Young lady, you will never touch a cigarette as long as you live, never sip a cocktail, and you will never live a life of sin. The hand of the Lord is upon you in a way like I have not seen his hand on young ladies, young handmaids, or damsels in the Lord in many, many, many meetings. You are going into a stage, a transition of really loving God, of separating yourself from the world and the flesh and the devil, and Satan will never be able to strike a victorious, defeating blow against your life. You are going to have inner beauty, inner strength, and inner stability. And I see in a vision tonight moral fibers so strong in your body that the loveliness of Christ is going to exude from you, and you're going to be an ensample, or you're going to be an example to the young believers and to the old believers. And this is not a thing of pride. You're going to walk closely with Jesus and partake of his divine nature, and don't ever associate with those who do not believe the way you believe, because God has a work for you to do. And I want you to know that. Just praise him and magnify him and glorify him. Just reach out and bless our sister. A wonderful ministry is upon her. I've never talked to her, never seen her before, but God knows her heart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God knows her heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just ministered to Sister Hooper tonight. Although Brother Ed is with the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord. I ask that all the years of struggling and all of the years of uncertainty and hardship that the enemy has so magnified in her dear life, that those will be erased, and the joy and strength of the Lord will be your portion. And God, you will be her strength and power and make her way perfect. And you will be an ever increasing source of comfort and companionship for her. And may she live to see the glory of God that her husband was not able to hold on to and live to see. But may she see it for him. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. I can't get my mind off of what God did. You realize what God did last night was so profound? Brother, I don't think you've ever been ministered to before. God has never ministered to you before like he did last night. I remember looking over here and seeing, you remember last night I said congestive heart failure and gland trouble and so on. Now, without anyone ever telling me anything like that, you knew, sister, that that was what was coming off. You have a pleural cavity that fills up with fluid, and your right lung, and it's pleural edema. There's a fluid buildup, congestive heart failure, like I said last night. You have taken hold of your healing, haven't you? And God has given you some healing there. And all the scar tissue from All the operations you've had, three operations, that's going to be healed, and you're going to live, my brother, to glorify God. And I advise you to trust the Lord now and not drink or eat salt and all that kind of stuff, because you're retaining fluid there in that heart, leakage of the heart and congestive failure that causes pneumonia. Then you won't have to spend 4 or 5 months in the hospital. Let's just praise the Lord. Amen. Let's thank Him for it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for healing our brother. He's never been ministered to like this before. He's saved his life. I pray You'll hold on to it. And everybody here that might not be here next year, if it had not been for Your moving in this meeting tonight, I pray You'll heal them and strengthen them, that they may go in to the Holy of Holies and see Your glory before these days. Oh, my, there's some things here tonight. God wants to bless His people and heal His people and strengthen His people. Satisfy your hungry souls. He's interested. We think He's not even interested in our bodies, but He is. He is. He's given us His word to come healing and health to all our flesh. Isn't that right? It's the wisdom of God. Let's just take it. I know that people are going to be, but I just wanted you to know that somebody's life has been saved for the glory of God and for a testimony of righteousness that would not ordinarily have happened had it not been for the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to have this particular type of meeting. And you'll get your reward for this, brother, and Brother Glenn, Sister Irma, because when your spirit led, God leads you, that's when God brings His salvation. How many of you believe the salvation is of the Lord? Now look, I don't want to establish anything, but when God is going to use the gifts of the Spirit, I think they ought to be used in such a way that will glorify Him. Do you know, where's that captain right over there? Now, Captain, I just want you to affirm something. I've never talked to you about any of your conditions or anything. When I looked at you and told you that you had a perforation in your left eardrum and all of that, and God's power came on you last night and began to restore that and heal that. Now, I know that no one could possibly know that. So when that happened, that did something to you, didn't it? And God knows that it did. Well, here you are, you've been a man of authority and all of that, and it's almost embarrassing that you would burst your eardrum firing a gun, but I've burst my eardrum by firing a .45 automatic, so God will forgive us. Amen. Now, don't you see, my friends, that only God can know these things, and when that happens, I want you to pray, Lord, don't make me look good, but give me a more sure word of prophecy. And the more Jesus you get, Jesus is the more sure word of prophecy. And let's get a more definite revelation. Amen. Amen. We need it. I just can't move on and say that we have to give up the gifts of the Spirit, because we're certainly not perfected yet. But let's get them perfected so we can go into perfection. All right? The Lord just spoke to my heart, and He said, let's save the healing meeting for tomorrow afternoon, because you people are fanning yourselves, and I'm getting so warm just looking at you. But let's save this for tomorrow afternoon. How many of you pray that tomorrow afternoon we can be cool? Just keep your cool till tomorrow afternoon, and let's see what happens, will you? And maybe the Lord will heal those air conditioning systems out there. Do something. May the Lord bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.